Hi, it's Dave. In this video, I'm going to be sharing some thoughts on what kind of habits and perspectives you can have to become a successful investor. Last week, Chamath Palihapitiya tweeted out a great series of tweets about his own personal investing philosophy and five rules that he's created for himself. I'm going to go over his tweets and share my thoughts. Investing 101. Successful investing is all about behavior and psychology. You can have the best model or analysis in the world, but if you panic, you lose. Said differently, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Let's begin. The most important thing you can do to maximize the odds of success is figure out what, if any, behavioral advantages you have or can create for yourself. What rules can you live by that will prevent you from doing something stupid, especially when everyone is losing their mind? Here are my behavioral decisions. Number one, I don't trade stocks. I buy companies. Buying a company is like hiring a great CEO to work for you and your family. You can rest well knowing that Bezos, Musk, etc. are on the job. That's not true for all CEOs, so decide accordingly. All right, Chamath's first rule for himself is that he buys companies and doesn't trade stocks. He says when you buy a company, it's like the CEO is working for you. And I resonate with this type of thinking. Oftentimes with my Tesla investment, it feels like I'm trusting Elon Musk to make the best decisions on how to reallocate capital and how to grow my investments in Tesla. But while it feels like Elon Musk is working for me as an investor or co-owner of Tesla, I don't feel in any way like I'm his boss because I can't tell him what to do. The only control I have is whether or not I keep my co-ownership in the company or not. Another way I like to think about co-owning a company is when I purchase shares in a company, I like to think of the percent of the company that I own. One example is with my investment in Tesla, is I've always held the percent of the total company I own as the main figure in my mind. So in some ways, the number of shares is actually less important to me than the percent of the company that I hold. And this has actually helped me to weather a lot of volatility over the years because I just keep asking myself, what percent of the company do I own right now? And what percent of the company do I want to own in 10 years? All right, number two, I try to buy companies that I think can potentially 10x in 10 years. If I'm not willing to do that, I don't buy it. This doesn't mean that I will bat 100%, but that isn't the goal. The goal is to become disciplined in a process. Repeat this process and don't deviate. Well, I can attest that Chamath doesn't bat 100%. I shared a video on my failed investment in Box where Chamath believed it was going to be a 10x investment, but it hasn't panned out very well. But that's the reality. I've had times where I thought a company was going to 10x, but it hasn't. And with each mistake, I think it's important to reevaluate and try to understand what went wrong and how I can improve my thinking for the future. I think the main point that Chamath makes here is that he has ambitious goals for investing. Most people's goals are to outperform the broader market or the S&P 500. But for Chamath, he has much more ambitious goals, and that is to 10x his money in 10 years. In other words, within 10 years, he needs to double his money at least 3 times and a little bit more. And that's extremely difficult to do. But I think this is one of the keys to investing for outsized gains, namely that you need to believe that the outsized gains are possible and within reach. If you don't think that 10xing your money within 10 years is a possibility, then you're not going to even try to look for those type of opportunities. And that's not to say that there aren't risks involved. There are risks, and a lot of them. But there's also ways to mitigate those risks by developing skills of research, analysis, and deep due diligence. One more point regarding this. I like that Chamath is looking to buy companies that can potentially 10x in 10 years. My criteria is a little bit more strict. I like to buy companies that have a clear and probable path to a 10x valuation within 5 to 10 years. Meaning, I'm not looking for just the possibility of a company doing a 10x, but I'm looking for the probability of the company doing a 10x. Okay, number three, it's all about the annual report versus quarterly earnings. If I become too short-term focused, I am my worst enemy and will overthink, overreact, and underperform my potential. Once you've bought a company, the hardest decision is no decision, patiently waiting to be right. Personally, I don't like to be too short-term focused in the market because it just feels like a very stressful way to live. I prefer relying on long-term trends and on exceptional execution by a great CEO and leadership team of a company. Those are things I can count on more reliably over time. But on the flip side, I like to keep up to date with the market and what's going on. It helps me to understand market forces and also the psychology of investors and funds. Because when I invest in a company, I'm not investing in a vacuum. Sometimes the mood or sentiment around a stock is very buoyant or bullish, and that affects the opportunity that I have to get in or not with the company. On the flip side, sometimes that sentiment or mood around the stock is very bearish, and that can present a very different type of opportunity to establish a position and even perhaps a very large position. Also, I think a lot of people underestimate and underappreciate the value of reading annual reports. I personally think for every company that you're invested in, at least with a significant amount, that you should read the company's quarterly reports and their annual reports. Oftentimes in the quarterly and annual reports, they're not able to hide certain things that they might be able to hide, let's say in a press release or in a presentation. There is a lot of liability considerations a company has to think through if they're going to not include certain information in their quarterly or annual report. Also, the more you start reading annual reports, the faster you will get in learning how to spot and find the important pieces and parts that are relevant to the company. I think this is a habit and a value as an investor looking for outsized gains. Rather than trusting what people say or some articles you've read, it's much better to go to the source and to find firsthand information on what the company is saying that they're doing and what the company is saying that they're going to do in the future. Okay, number four, I try not to look at prices every day. The market has an amazing way of giving you great opportunities to see the truth. You just need to realize that the price and the truth aren't always the same. Looking at daily prices makes it harder for me to see the difference. I think Chamath here makes a very interesting point about how price and truth aren't always the same. It's interesting he uses the word truth. I think the current price of a stock represents truth, but more in a short-term manner. It represents what the current mood and sentiment is regarding a stock. However, it doesn't tell us what the future price of that company's stock will be or what the future mood or sentiment around that stock will be. In many ways, it's the long-term truth that is much more valuable than the short-term truth or stock price, because ultimately it's the long-term price of the stock that really matters for the investor who holds onto a company. It's amazing to me that just 1.5 years ago or less, people were valuing Tesla as a $40 stock. But just a little more than a year later, people are valuing the same stock and the same company at over $400 a share. That's a 10x difference. And in my opinion, the trajectory of Tesla hasn't really changed that much in the past year. Sure, they've reported 4 straight quarters of GAAP profit, but still, I don't think that justifies the stock going up 10 times in little over a year. What that shows to me is that the short-term perspective on the company 1.5 years ago was very pessimistic and probably completely out of touch with the long-term truth or reality. But on the flip side, it could be very possible that today's stock price of Tesla can be a bit over-enthusiastic and exuberant. Nevertheless, as an investor that's looking for long-term outsized gains, my focus is not on the stock price today, but rather on the long-term picture and truth of the company. All right, number five, I don't play with derivatives. Options seem fun, but they are like allowing a toddler to play with a loaded gun. You can have a few close calls, but it eventually catches up with you. I can understand Chamath here. Using options is basically using leverage. And when things are going right, you can really turbocharge your gains. And in a way, it can be addicting. But when things go wrong, it also amplifies your losses, and it can be very painful. Over the years, I've gravitated to using options less as my portfolio has grown over time. I'm more focused on finding great companies and using common stock. But I keep an open mind because I think when investors accumulate more assets, they tend to become more risk averse. And I think that can actually hurt their chances and abilities to achieve outsized gains going forward. Personally, I'm not against options completely, but I do have a cautious approach to them. And when I use them, it's usually a sign that I have a very, very deep conviction regarding that company. Finally, in short, I have come to believe that the markets are the summation of everyone's collective consciousness in any given moment. What this means to me is that I see the markets constantly overreacting and underreacting in any given moment based on people's psychology. But I have also seen that over time, as you zoom out, sanity always prevails. By creating some rules and living by them, you give yourself the best chance of not losing momentum in moments of chaos, finding and sticking to your truth and letting prices catch up. Good luck. Overall, I think Chamath makes some great points here. In the midst of a market that's constantly emotionally up or emotionally down, it's important to find a way to find your bearings. Many people will chase shiny objects that everyone else is chasing, and they find comfort in following the herd. But I think it's important for the exceptional investor to be somewhat level-headed and have a different philosophy and value system that allows him or her to continue to look for those amazing generational companies, while others are more focused on their portfolio gains for this week or this month. All right, I want to hear from you guys. What are some investing philosophies and habits that you have that helps you keep calm and collected while others get emotional with investing? If this video has been helpful, please like it and consider subscribing to this channel. We're looking at investment topics from different angles, asking thoughtful questions, and trying to get beneath the surface of things. I'm on Twitter at HeyDave7, and we'll see you in my next video. Thanks.